We have been studying the Temple of Solomon. This will be the third message that we have looked at. And I trust that you're enjoying it. I really am enjoying it. And I want you to turn in your scriptures to the book of 1 Kings chapter 5. That'll be the first scripture that we read. What I want to talk today about is foundations. Now, I have taught a lot about foundations. You know about foundations. But I want to go through this real rapidly and real quickly today. David had had the vision about the temple. He had drew it. He had given it to Solomon. He had passed it on. It was late in David's life. He was around 68 years old. It was approximately 2 years before he went on to be with the Lord. The principle there is don't wait until it's too late in your life to find out that God wants to do more. Don't wait until it's time to go on and be with Him and find out that you didn't move on into all that He had for us. Also, we've learned that the vision was passed on to Solomon. It would be Solomon that would build it, and the temple would be built on Moriah, not on Zion, and not at Gibeon. Now, Moriah was in the city limits, if you will, of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. I want to show you this because I think that it'll help us. You got to see good. The city of Jerusalem, according to Thompson Chain and their scale, is only about, at this particular time, only about a mile wide. According to Thompson Chain's Bible and its scale, the city itself was actually less than a mile, as the wall of the city was around the city. At the southern end would be Zion. This is where the tabernacle of David would be built, or was built and was in existence at this time, and also where David's house was. Now, Solomon would build over here at Moriah, which would be the eastern side, and over here on Moriah is where he would build the temple and where he would build his house. It would be on the eastern side of the city. Now, the thing that I'm wanting to just go through some of this rapidly so that we can get on with the basic principles that I want to share with you. The city, as you would come into the city, and you couldn't help miss the temple. It wasn't like a mountain, like a mountain here, a Pigeon Mountain or a lookout. It wasn't like that at all. What this was really high places. They were hills. They were high places that you would come into the city, and then you would see this. And as you come into the city, there would be this massive structure, which would be the Temple of Solomon. And let's read here in 1 Kings chapter 5, and I'm just going to read a few verses from this passage. You can research this out as you will. Verse 15, 1 Kings 5 and 15. Now Solomon had 70,000 transporters and 80,000 ewers of stone in the mountains, besides Solomon's 3,300 chief deputies who were over the project and who ruled over the people who were doing the work. And the king commanded that they quarried great stones, costly stones, to lay the foundation of the house and cut stones. The stones were huge. Our thinking of a foundation, the way that we build today, is that you dig a ditch, you dig a hole, and you pour your concrete in it, and it's got to be so deep and so forth, and then we build upon that. That's not what you will learn today. What you will learn today is that biblical foundations are at seeing level. You can see them. This foundation, this stone, and I'll show you in just a second, was a stone that was quarried out of the mountain. It was 18 feet square. It was 10 cubits by 10 cubits. It was a huge, huge stone. It would be cut out. He had 70,000 people that did nothing but move these stones. That's what they did. They moved the stones. He had 80,000 people that did nothing but cut the stones out. The stones were a square. 1 Kings 7:10 talks about the stones, and it talks about it being in one of the verses, 10 cubits by 10 cubits or whatever. And I'll give you that in just a second. But the stone itself was a huge stone. It was 18 feet by 18 feet. If you put a 6-foot man beside it, that's how it would look. Huge, huge stones. Now, this ceiling over your head is 12 feet tall. As I look here, we have the ceiling stopping right here, and then this is wide open. It goes all the way to the top. What I'm looking at is about 18 feet. In other words, the stone is as tall as our building. It's 18 feet tall. It would come out from that wall to about this place, and it would go that way to about that second row. And that's the size of the stone that was quarried, cut out, cut to the proper size, smoothed down, and then carried to Mount Moriah. It wasn't dug out, and then this stone laid there. It was leveled, and then the stone set there. It would sit there. It was this huge, huge stone. And this is the foundations that the Bible talks about. This is the foundation stones. They would bring them, and they would lay them in their position. The best I can tell, there would be about 30 of them. The temple would sit on top of it. To have the dimensions that is going to be necessary, they would lay them. They would first bring the cornerstone. I want you to see this. There's the chief cornerstone. It would be set first. It would be squared up, setting in the proper direction. Every other stone then had to be laid according to that cornerstone. Now, when we build around here, what we do is we dig the foundation, then we'll lay the blocks, we'll make the corner, and we'll square it up. But what this is the first stone is laid, the cornerstone is laid, and then everything else aligns to that cornerstone. If it's not right, none of it will be right. It won't face the right direction. It won't look right. It won't be right. That cornerstone has to be laid first. The structure as it is built is going to look something like this. It'll face the east. You'll have steps that ascend. But the foundation stones will be right here, and this will be the temple structure itself. This is 18 feet tall. Here again is your 6-foot man. The temple itself is 30 cubits, which is about 55 feet. So you got a structure here off of the ground, something over 70 feet tall. And you would ascend into it. And that's kind of and we're going to build the whole thing because of the truths that are there. The foundations that the Scriptures teach us about are above ground. The New Jerusalem, which the book of Revelation teaches us about, had how many stones? How many foundations? Abraham was looking for a city with foundations, right? Okay? So we're looking now at something that's huge and that we can see. You need to be able to learn this first principle. You need to be able to see the foundations in your life. You need to be able to look at your life and see the foundations. If you can see the foundations in your life, then they're really there. If you look and there's no foundations, then guess what? There's no foundations. And when trials come, when tests come, what's going to happen? Foolish man doesn't build his house on foundations. He builds it on weak stuff. Now, here's the truth that I want you to get. First of all, you need to be able to see the foundations. In the New Testament, you will see the foundations. Secondly, I want you to understand this. Of the five divine inhabitations of God that we've already talked about, the Ark of Noah, the Tabernacle of Moses, the Tabernacle of David, the Temple of Solomon, and then the New Jerusalem, all of those did not have foundations. How many of those had foundations? How many? Two. Only two of those had foundations. Noah's Ark did not have a foundation, just water. When you first come into the kingdom of God, did you have a foundation? Could you have easily been, except by the grace of God, blown about by every wind of doctrine? And when you come in, there is no foundation, but you need to move on with God. The tabernacle of Moses, it's built and it had silver sockets. And these silver sockets that these posts set in weighed 125 pounds apiece. But that's not much of a foundation. Now, this is in existence over at Gibeon. In Gibeon, what you'll have working into your life is redemption. That's what silver is exemplified of. But there is somewhat of a foundation. It's not much. It's nothing like this 18-foot square stone that we're looking at here. But it is something. Let's go to Zion. What kind of a foundation do we have at Zion? What? I couldn't find one. It's dug in the sand. It's dug in the dirt. Post. Dobbs. I want to say this, and you've heard me say it. The people that claim to be at Zion, the people that are charismatics, cruismatics, really don't have much of a foundation. There's not much. There ought to be. They ought to be the most stable because of the songs they sing, because of the way they worship. But I minister to these people. I talk to these people. These people are the weakest of all the foundations. There's no dedication. They're weak. Their finances are weak. Their marriages are weak. Their children are rebellious. We're at Zion. Somebody said, that's true, Pastor. But when we go to the temple, we find foundations. Not just little bitty 125-pound foundations, but foundations so huge that you can't miss them. As you walk into the city, you can see them. When you come and look at my life, you need to be able to see the foundations that are there. When you walk into a church, you need to be able to see the foundations that are there. When you walk into a home, you need to be able to see the foundations that are there. When you come to a city, there should be foundations. And you need to be able to see those foundations. Now, these are huge foundations. The New Jerusalem had 12 foundations. The city itself, and I've kind of just drew this, itself is 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles, it goes up and over, and it's a square of 1,500 miles. And under that, the writer says, there were 12 foundations under the wall. There was 12 foundations. You can see them. He said, and the angel took me to a high mountain, and he showed me the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I looked, and behold, the city. He saw the city coming down with the 12 foundations. And on those foundations were the names of the apostles. There were the 12 foundations. Names of the apostles, Peter, Paul, James, John, and so forth. And they're very costly because they're made of jasper and sapphire and that one, and emerald. And if you've done it in proportion to what the Temple of Solomon is, and if this thing is 1,500 miles square and it's one-third the foundation, then would be one-third of the size, and you've got a foundation of 500 feet. And it's a firm foundation. It's a foundation that's apostles. And what I'm trying to say is that in the New Testament, you can see the foundations. Our mentality of a foundation is something that's under the ground. How many of you realize that the foundation is no... The structure of a building is no better than the foundation of that building. It may look good for a day or two. It may look real fine. But if that foundation is not firm, the whole structure is going to do something. What is it, the Leaning Tower of Pizza or Pisa? Because the foundation sunk, the whole thing sunk. And it's that way in our lives. If you can hear me, that's where I'm coming. Because who is the temple? We've got to understand that we're the temple. And if the foundation isn't sure, when the waves of life come, when the trials of life come, when the storms of life come, if that foundation isn't sure, then your life is going to do what that tower did of Pisa. It just won't stand. But the Temple of Solomon had this huge foundation. And as you go through the scriptures, you find out that the foundation becomes more and more and more important. It's 10 cubits by 10 cubits. Are 18 feet by 18 feet here in the Temple of Solomon. When you go to Ezekiel and you study the thing of Ezekiel, it's about 22 feet by 22 feet. But when you go to the New Jerusalem, you're talking about foundations of about 500 miles. You're talking about foundations that are big enough to go around 1,500 square. Huge, huge foundations. And these are the things that I want us to grasp today. And then I want us to understand about the cornerstone. The cornerstone has to be set first, and it has to be perfect. And everything else will line up perfect with it. Now, what I want to do is I want to bring now the spiritual truths, the New Testament truths, what I'm really wanting to say about the foundation, the truths of the foundation. First of all, I want us to understand that Jesus Christ is the foundation. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 3:11. He says, "For other foundation can no man lay, then that is laid which is Jesus Christ." In Isaiah 28:16, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I lay a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. And that make haste means you will not be disturbed. How many know that if your life is really built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it does not matter what comes your way, what blows against you, you stand firm. And that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7 and again in Luke 7. Anything can come against your life, and if the foundation is sure, the house will stand. But if it's not sure, if the foundation is not sure, he says, great is the fall thereof. And so what I want us to do today is look at what foundations really are in the New Testament temple, which is you and me. And let me say this. It's the temple that will see the age out. Turn to me to Ephesians chapter 2. In the book, in the Old Testament, all these things were given to us, 1 Corinthians 10 says, for our instructions, for symbolisms, that we can learn, be admonished. The Ark of Noah did not end the age. The Tabernacle of Moses did not end the age. The Tabernacle of David did not end the age. Which structure brought the end or the termination of the age? It'd be the Temple of Solomon, or the concept of the Temple of Solomon. It was actually Herod's temple, but it had the same concept of the Temple of Solomon. What I'm wanting us to see today is that it's going to be a temple that brings the end of the age. The first thing we've got to understand about foundations is this. It's Jesus Christ. And if our life is not lined up perfectly with His, if we're not squared up with Him as the chief cornerstone, anything that we build won't line up right, won't stand right. It'll sink, it'll sump. Would you say back to me this? Would you quote this with me? Jesus Christ is the first foundation. Now I want to give you the second foundation that I see in Scriptures. And here it is in Ephesians chapter 2. Start reading at verse 15. I'll get there. Ephesians 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of what? The apostles and prophets. There has to be prophetic and apostolic ministry in this temple. There has to be this ministry of apostles and prophets. Now, it's sad that most of the church world today doesn't even believe in apostles and prophets. There's nothing for them to build on. There's nobody to give them direction. There's nothing to impart into their lives. But what we see here is that the church, if it's going to stand, if our lives are going to stand, then we have got to have the ministry of apostles and prophets. It's a foundational ministry. Again, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. Now I want you to see this in verse 21. In whom the whole building fitted together is growing into what? A holy tabernacle? Is growing into what? We're growing into a temple. We're not growing into a tabernacle. God does not want us to stay at Zion. God does not want us to stay at Gibeon. What God wants us to do is come together and go and build a foundation on Moriah. Now, I want us to hear that because it's the temple that God wants to build. There are a lot of truths at Zion. There are a lot of truths at Moriah. But what God is really after today is a holy temple that's going to be built in a place not made up of a bunch from over here at Zion or a bunch made over here at Gibeon, but a brand new generation is going to be raised up. It's going to walk in this. Some of us will get to enjoy some of it. We'll be in the transition time, as some people always are. But what's going to eventually happen in the kingdom of God is there's going to be apostolic ministry, prophetic ministry, and that's going to be ministering into people's lives to the extent that the temple will be built. I'm not talking about a structure. You understand this now. I'm talking about a people. I'm talking about a household of God. Now, so what we see is that the apostles become apostolic ministry, prophetic ministry becomes foundational ministry. Revelation 21:14. We just saw that. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I want to say this. Jesus Christ is the foundation redemptively. Without Him, initially, without the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, the foundation cannot be lined up at all. Apostolic ministry is the ministry doctrinally. Jesus Christ, redemptively, apostolic prophetically, doctrinally. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. What you've got to have in your life is apostolic and prophetic ministry. We all have to have this in our life to build properly, to build upon a foundation. Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. But He's not the only stone. There are 29 more stones. They all touch. They're all related to Him. They all line up with Him. But there must be apostolic and prophetic ministry in a life, in a home, in a church, in a city, in a nation, in the world. If not, it'll fall. Would you say back to me, number one, say that? Jesus Christ is the first foundation. Number two, apostolic and prophetic ministry is the second foundation. We need it in our lives. One more. The third foundation that you'll find it in Hebrews chapter 6. You can turn if you want, but just write it down because I'm just going to read it to you quickly. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It's doctrines. Solid doctrine in our life gives us a solid foundation. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. This temple that Solomon built was perfect. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, dead works, faith toward God, doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now these gives you a foundational understanding of doctrines that you need to have an understanding about in your life if you're going to move on to perfection. If you're going, He gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the what? Perfecting of the saints. Until we all come unto the unity of Christ, the bond of love, unto the measure and the stature which belongs unto Christ, unto the perfect man. What God wants us to do is establish in our lives solid doctrinal understandings. If they're not there when the storms of life come, when the winds of life blow upon our lives, what happens to our building is that it'll start sinking, it'll sag, it'll leak, it'll fall. I am absolutely astounded and amazed as I talk to Christians, and you know that it's true, how little they really know about the Word of God. How little they really know about the Bible and about doctrines, basic doctrines that they need to have in their life so that when the storms of life come, they can stand. They don't know what the Word of God says. They come and they get a little message on Sunday morning, maybe. Folks, that's not going to work into your life, the doctrines of Christ and a firm foundation. We have got to have in our life, number one, Jesus Christ. Number two, apostolic and prophetic ministry. And number three, we've got to have solid doctrinal understandings of the Word of God. Now, if you'll have that, your house will stand. And if we don't have it, our house won't stand. Here comes a storm. Boom. Knocks it down. We build it back again the same way that it was. Same storm comes again. Boom. Let's use the storm of finance. Storm of finance comes against your house. You don't have biblical development under there, the doctrines of finance in your foundation. That storm comes, boom, it falls. Well, you build it back again the same way. Here comes the same storm again, boom, falls again. Many of us, it may not be finances, but in areas of our life, we continuously are rebuilding again on the same old foundation, never reconstructing it, never getting it doctrinally correct. And every time that storm comes, it falls. Number one, say that back to me. Number one, foundation is Jesus Christ. Number two, foundation is apostolic and prophetic ministries. Number three foundation is doctrinal understanding. Got to have those. Now, finishing this up. As I studied this, I saw something that I had seen about a year back. Whenever it was that we were studying the Psalms, we were studying going through the Psalms. And I saw something then, and as I got back into the foundations this time, I saw it again. And it was very interesting to me that the majority or most of the scriptures throughout the Bible that deal with the foundation deal with God's justice. I want to say this, and then I'll show you. When God deals with a person, when God deals with a family, a home, when He deals with a church, when He deals with a city or a nation, whenever that He deals with that thing, He comes to the foundation. He exposes the foundation. He tests the foundation. He sets the foundation on fire. And if it's built of wood, hay, or stubble, what's it going to happen? But if it's built on gold or silver or precious stones, it will stand. And when God comes to look at your life or my life, He comes and He looks at the foundations. I'll give you a couple of scriptures. There's about 18 or 19 of these that as I went through this and I saw that God deals with the foundation. He comes to and he does His justice at the foundational level. Deuteronomy 32:22 says, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest tail and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." 2 Samuel 22:16, "And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of His nostrils." Lamentations 4:11, "The Lord hath accomplished His fury. He hath poured out His fierce anger and hath kindled a fire in Zion and hath devoured the foundations thereof." What God does with any of us in any capacity, He comes to the foundation and He tests it. I was looking at this, like I said, a year and a half ago as we were doing Psalms. I had heard messages about this particular Psalm and this particular passage. And as I looked at it, I saw that that wasn't what it was saying at all. In Psalms 11, verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to read it to you. Psalms verse 11, verses 1 through 4 says, and David's talking here, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make their arrow ready upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" So as I had heard this preached before, that what happens is that when the foundations go bad, then there's nothing that the righteous can do. The foundations are bad. What they did is they came to David and they said, "How can you say to my soul, how can you instruct me, how can you put this into me, how can you get me to believe that when things start going bad, we'll say, well, let's fly away to our mountain?" And the church has said that, people, that when things get bad, they start talking about the rapture. And they start talking about flying away to the mountain. Let's get out of here, the escape thing. But David says that's not right. That's not what it is. "How can you say this to me?" he says. "How can you say that the wicked are going to triumph over the righteous? How can you say that to me?" is what he's saying here. He's saying that's not what it is. He says, "How can you say to me just because the foundations are being disturbed that there's nothing that the righteous can do?" How many of you believe that the foundations in our nation has been disturbed? The word foundation here means the basis. The very basis of what you believe. The very basis of what you stand on. The very basis. How many believe that the home and the family has been attacked in our nation? Believe that? The very basis of our nation. How many of you believe that 5,000 abortions a day is a little too much? How many of you believe that our indebtedness as a nation, I don't even know what is it? It's in the trillions. I don't know. What is it, Turk? $2.5 trillion. God has looked at the foundation. And David's response to this, what David said in response to, "How can you say this to me? That when the foundations are shaken, there's nothing that the righteous can do." This is what he says. "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Though things may look bad, folks, God is still God and He's still on the throne. And though it may look like the devil is doing it," David says that's not the way it is. "The Lord's in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men." In other words, you think that the foundation is bad and it's going to hell. He says, but in reality, God is seeing it and it's really God that's trying it. David had a different mentality. And he understood that when foundations were being shaken in his life, in his nation, whatever that it was, that it was really God doing the shaking. He was exposing some things there. And in our lives, folks, when things are shaking, we have got to find out there's something wrong. The foundation isn't lined up with Jesus Christ. There's not apostolic and prophetic ministry into my life. My doctrinal understanding is erroneous. When we start squaring these things up, then we'll start standing. What the Lord, does that bother you that foundations shake? Does it? See, like I said, when most Christians, when they start seeing things getting bad, they really believe that the rapture is about to happen. That's what they've been taught. How can you say to my soul? That's what they've really been taught. And that's what they really believe. Does that bother you? Does that bother this body when things are going nuts in the earth? It really shouldn't. It shouldn't bother the Christian. Proverbs 10:25 says this, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Isaiah 58:12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the past to dwell in. See, the way to correct the messed up foundations of a home, of a nation, of a family, the way to correct the messed up foundation is to raise up a righteous generation. A generation that has the firm foundations in them. A generation that understands that you have got to align your life with Jesus Christ. A generation that understands that I have got to have apostolic and prophetic ministry in my life. A generation that understands that I have got to have sound doctrinal understanding. I'm not a, you know, we've got people in our body that protest in front of abortion clinics. And I have done it. And I'm not against that. You know I'm not. But that's not going to fix the foundation. We've got people in our body that do the right thing because that's the right thing to do. But that's not going to fix the foundation. The foundation will never be corrected until there's a proper belief and understanding in Jesus Christ, until there's apostolic and prophetic ministry in lives, and until the proper doctrinal understandings come into the body of Christ. Can you hear me today? Is this? Sometimes I don't know if you're not hearing me or if it's just so much that we have to listen real intently to make sure we don't mishear him. You're hearing this okay, aren't you? It's the foundation. It's the foundations. And it really shouldn't bother the Christian. In 1 Timothy 6:19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. How many know that there will be times in your life that are coming that will be a test on what you believe? 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. When things shake, folks, if you're God's and you're on that rock and you're on that sure foundation, this huge, huge foundation that He gives us to build upon, if we're on that, folks, nothing will destroy us. Nothing will disturb us. All hell can come against us, but you won't move. You'll be founded surely. Nevertheless, the foundations of the Lord standeth sure. Number one, the foundation is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. Number two, the foundation is fulfilled in apostolic and prophetic ministry in our lives. Number three, the foundation is fulfilled in proper understanding of doctrinal beliefs that you must build upon. Become perfected to keep on moving with God. You've got to have proper doctrinal understandings. And that only comes by studying the Word of God. But number four, when God deals with a man, a woman, a family, a home, a church, a city, or a nation, He deals with the foundation, the very basis of your understanding. He sets fire to it. He tests it. And if it's built on wood, hay, or stubble, it will not stand. God deals with a foundation. And what God does is He deals, and this breaks my heart, He will, first of all, the first thing God will do when He begins to deal with a person is He will remove him from the body of Christ. The first thing that has to be lined up is that cornerstone. Your life has to be lined up with Jesus Christ. When people get out of fellowship with the body of Christ, they are misaligning themselves with that cornerstone. The second thing that He will do is remove apostolic and prophetic real ministry. He'll remove real ministry from their lives. They'll get mad at the preacher. They'll get mad at something. They'll find something to get mad at, and they're gone. And we look at that and we say, my goodness, you know. But God is bringing justice in that life. God is testing that foundation. Can you hear what I'm trying to say? God will test that foundation. And when a person leaves the body, and I'm not talking about leaving one church to go to a better church. That's wonderful. What I'm talking about doing is when you leave church and you don't go anywhere. When He disconnects you from the body of Christ, you think you have done it. But in all actuality, what's happened is He is judging your foundation. And then He removes real ministry from your life. I don't need Him. I don't need her. I don't need nothing. No ministry, no impartation, no direction. And the next thing you know, God is bringing judgment and setting fire on that foundation. And the third thing is you don't even believe anymore. You may have had some prophecies given over your life. You may have had some things done in your life, impartations into your life, some directions given by apostolic ministry. You may have been taught some basic doctrinal beliefs. All of a sudden, you'll start doubting this. This isn't true. Couldn't be true. And your foundation falls. The whirlwind comes. The test comes. And the home falls. The person falls. The church falls. Foundational ministry in this body is first of all me. And if I'm not there, if I'm not right, I crack, I crumble. What happens to the... Well, it'll still be here. It's not going anywhere. It's too strong of a church. But if I crack or I crumble or I fall or I mess up real bad, I get out and sin or do something really stupid, what? And it cracks and it crumbles, is it going to affect this thing somewhat? If our elders or our deacons, or although they fall into sin, is it going to affect you somewhat? And so what I'm saying is God will test the foundations. He'll test the foundations of a man, of a home. He'll test the foundations of a church. He'll test the foundations of a city, of a nation. Just the way He does it. Now, I'm done. I want to say this. You know that your life is, first of all, has the cornerstone in it. And you align everything that you do with the teachings and the sayings of Jesus Christ. You know that in your life, you receive apostolic and prophetic direction. You know that you seek after it. You want it. You want it imparted into your life. And you know that you study the Word of God and that your foundational understanding of the doctrines of God are secure. Nobody can blow you around by winds of doctrine. You know what you know. If that's you, you ought to rejoice because you can stand. Nothing can come against you that'll knock you over. You can stand. Your home can stand. Your church can stand. Your city can stand because you have done it right. How many of you like that? How many of you know that you've got a good foundation under you? How many? Well, let's stand up and shout about that. Come on, stand up. I want you to shout. If you can't shout about that, then again, we don't got nothing to shout about. You know that when the test of life comes that you'll stand. Let's shout. Hallelujah! Father, I thank You that You have led me to build a sure foundation. And that when the storms come and the trials come, I can stand. But now I notice that everybody's hand didn't go up. Some of you rebuild and rebuild and rebuild and rebuild. What I want to say, you need to ask the question. Where am I not aligned with the Word of God? Where am I not allowing real ministry into my life? What do I really need to look into the Word of God and find out proper biblical understanding about so that I can shore up my foundation? Because what I want you to hear today is that what God does in your life is test that foundation so that you can see where you need to shore up at. So that you can go on and become perfected in Him. Heads bowed. You would say today, Delbert, I know what you've said. And there's areas of my life that I'm continuously, time after time after time, having to go back and rebuild. Go back and shore up. Go back and look at again. And what I really do need is some help and some instructions. I need the body of Christ to help minister to me. I need true ministry to impart into my life. I need to learn to listen to ministry. And I really need to get into the Word of God and study it. If that's you, would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Amen. Lift them up real high. Real high. Amen. The rest of you just agree with me. I want you to keep your hands up. I want everybody's eyes down, though. I want everybody quiet because I don't want people to feel inferior here. But you keep your hands up. The rest of you just pray. Just lift your hands and just say, Father, we just pray for these people. Just start praying for them. Father, we pray for them. Father, we can do no more than pray, but yet, Father, that's probably the best thing that we can do. And Father, we pray for these people. Father, these people that are honest enough to say, I need some foundations in my life. I need some basics in my life. I need some help in my life. I keep falling. I keep getting into troubles. I keep doing these things. And I know, Lord God, that you want me shored up. You want me fixed. Father, we pray for these people. We pray for them, Father. I ask You in the name of Jesus that You will, by Your grace, minister to them, that they can align their lives with Jesus Christ, that they can receive true ministry, and that they will have a desire to study the Word of God. And that, Father, they won't have to go around that mountain anymore. They won't have to build again that part of their house. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to establish the foundations in their lives. Amen. What you need to do now is these three things. You've got to find out where you're missing it. When you keep fighting the same battle over and over and over, when you keep doing that, you're missing it somewhere. Get the body of Christ to minister to you. Number two, get real ministry, apostolic or prophetic, to give you direction, impartations into your life. Number three, find out what the Bible really does say about it. Your life will change, and you won't fight that fight again. Amen? Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name, and I just ask you to come back tonight and see me about 6:00.